Good, I'm ready to preach this morning. I love the Word. How many of you love the Word? Come on, shout, yes! Now, I did not know that you had this banner before you. But as I was driving down the interstate this morning, these words began to rise up in my spirit. Your season of restoration begins now. Everybody shout right now. Your season of restoration begins now. And it said, I will restore. I will restore. It doesn't matter what you've gone through, what you've lost. It doesn't matter. He is still the God of the restoration. Everybody shout restoration.
Restoration.
And I believe that for you in this season, God is going to give you divine rest. Everybody shout rest.
Rest.
You say, what do you mean rest? What does that have to do with restoration? He's going to give you divine rest. What is that? That's R-E-S-T. That's restoring everything Satan took. Hallelujah. And this is your season. It begins right now. Your season of restoration. You know, this is a good year. It is a great year. It's a glorious year. Come on now. Already. I mean, this is, what year is this? 2000 what?
18.
Now, sometime back, I couldn't shake it off. I said, 18, 18, 18, 18. What in the world does 18 mean? And I looked up in the Hebrew, and the number 18 means alive. Everybody shout, alive.
Alive.
And when I saw it, the Lord said, son, begin to tell my people. So I'm going to tell you. He said, begin to tell my people that in this year, 2018, he said to tell you that in this year, things are coming alive. Alive. I'm talking about things that have been unfruitful and barren. Oh, guess what? They're coming alive. Things for you that have been dead, guess what? They're coming alive. I'm talking about dead relationships, dead goals, dead dreams, dead visions. Our God is going to walk through the graveyard of your dreams, and things are going to come alive. Amen. You know, hell or sin, forget about it. Hell or sin, I have scheduled your burial. But God said, I have scheduled your resurrection. Hallelujah. Woo! In 2018, and so mark it down, Brother Tom, for you, guess what? It shall be seen in 2018. Hallelujah. Everybody shout, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. No, I'm ready to preach. I love to preach. I love to preach. But you know, I got to share something very quickly. Quicker than Pastor Todd was taking up the offering. But this morning, on the way here, I stopped at, you know, the convenience store to get me something to drink. I must admit it, don't tell Dr. Colbert or Dr. Cherry, but it was a soft drink. All that good sugar get me cranked up. But as I was praying for the soft drink, the little girl behind the counter, she had an attitude. Have you ever met her or one of her cousins? Come on now. I mean, she had an attitude. I mean, she didn't have just an attitude. I mean, she had a ratitude. That's a radical attitude. I mean, she just had an attitude. You know, I mean, she was someone, but guess what? She was about ready to reek. Come on now. Because I felt it, whoa, begin to rise. Well, I mean, she had an attitude. And I felt a fit of carnality begin to rise up on the inside of me. Have you ever been there before? Come on, let's be honest. Come on now. And I were to give her the what for. Now, you've been there too. Come on, let's be honest. Come on, take off that mask. You've been there. I have to. But you know, as I was there and she was having an attitude, the Lord says something to me. He says, son, remember the baby cried. You said, do what? He said to me, remember the baby cried. Say, what do you mean by that? A number of years ago, a friend of mine, his name was Pat Garrett. Not the same one that shot Billy the Kid, but he pastors in Houston, Texas. But a number of years ago, Pastor Garrett and a group from his church are flying back from Los Angeles back into Houston, Texas. That's a long, long flight, about 3.5 hours, nonstop. And right across the aisle on that plane, there's a woman holding a baby. And that baby crying for 3.5 hours. I'm not talking about just a few little gooing and cooing, but I'm talking about that baby screamed and yelled and wailed, and people couldn't sleep, people couldn't talk, people couldn't work. I'm talking about for 3.5 hours that baby crying so loud. I'm talking about that baby was screaming so loud. And my friend said, I wanted to say something to that lady to shut the baby up, but I couldn't. I'm a pastor, and plus my parishioners were with me. If they hadn't been with me, maybe so. But for 3.5 hours, that baby crying so loud. And right before they began the touchdown in Houston, the man sitting in front of the woman holding the baby, I'm talking about only this far away from the baby, for 3.5 hours, the baby screamed and yelled and cried and wailed. And all of a sudden, he broke. He couldn't take it anymore. And he stood up and he turned around and said, woman, for the love of God, will you shut that baby up? And that baby was still crying. That little lady said, sir, I would love to shut this baby up, but I'm not this baby's mom. You see, people are thinking, well, maybe the baby is teething. Maybe the baby is hungry. Maybe the baby needs to have the diaper changed. All kinds of things. But he said, will you shut that baby up? And she was saying, that baby was still crying, I would love to shut this baby up, but I'm not this baby's mama. This baby's mama is in a casket in the cargo hold of this plane. And this baby is crying for its mama. And that man, he slithered around and sat back down. My friend said, my God, I'm so glad I didn't say a word. He said, as they were landing there in Houston and the baby was still crying, they finally were getting off the plane. He let the lady go before them. And that baby was still crying. The baby was still crying so loud. In those days, you could still meet people at the gate. But as they got off the plane, that baby was still crying. All of a sudden, that lady holding the baby just reached out and gave that baby to a man. And as soon as that man grabbed that baby, immediately that baby quit crying. And my friend said to the woman, excuse me, ma'am, but who is that man? She said, that's the father. You see, sometimes we don't know what people are going through. Well, maybe the baby's sick. Maybe the baby's teeth. Maybe the baby needs to be changed. And I saw that this morning. He says, son, remember the baby cried. Because that lady, I mean, she was giving an attitude, getting kind of snippy and snappy. He said, but son, you don't know, maybe her husband told her this weekend, I hate you, I'm leaving you. Maybe the doctor told her on Friday, you've only got 6 months to live. Maybe her boss told her this morning, after this shift, you're gone, no more, I need you no more. We don't know. You see, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know where they're facing. We don't know where that begins. We don't know the frustration, the dilemmas they're going through. And I saw that this morning, and she was having an attitude. And God said, son, he said, remember the baby cried. And we didn't know what she was going through. She could have been going through hell and back. She could have been all through with difficult times. But when I saw that, I said, Lord, he said, remember the baby cried. And I was there. And I said, ma'am, I don't know if you're a mother. She said, yeah, I'm a mama. And I said, well, I just want you to know that I'm going to say Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. God bless you. And I reached in my wallet again and I pulled out, you know, some currency. And I just said, here, I want to give it. What? I said, I just want to do what? I just want to give this to you to make your day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't much, it was $20. But you know, it just changed her whole countenance. Yes. You see, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know what they're facing. We don't know the hell, the frustration. We don't know the difficult situation they're up against. But remember, the baby cried. Hallelujah. Well, that's sermon number one. I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. Well, how many love the Lord? Come on, shout a big hearty amen, 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 amen. And yes, one more time, amen. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Come on now. Would you just hold them up high and meet the devil man? Come on now. There it is. Hold up your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones, your blackberries, strawberries, blueberries, cranberries, whatever you got, just hold them up high and just make the devil mad. Come on now, just take him off. Come on, just say this after me, please. Say, I'm a warrior for the Lord.
I'm a warrior for the Lord.
With my two-edged sword.
With my two-edged sword.
I'm armed and dangerous. With the word of God. The church wants you to take it and just shake it in the devil's face. Come on now. No, honey. I said take it and shake it in his face. Come on. Woo! About God. Some of you are doing this number here. No wonder you got problems, honey. He's be under our feet. So let's try one more time. Just take it and shake it in the devil's face. Come on now. Oh, that's a whole lot better. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel good. I feel good. I know we don't go by feelings. We don't go by feelings, but guess what? I feel good. Wow. I feel a James Brown anointing coming on. Wow, I feel good. Ow. Well, we better get busy. Come on now. Would you turn with me, please, or turn it on? To 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And I just want to say a special thank you to Christian Growth Church. I love and appreciate the church. I've been blessed. I've come here and had the honor, the privilege to preach in this great church since 1985. Somebody's getting older. And it's not me. Come on now. It's Todd. Hallelujah. But I want to say thank you, Christian Growth. I love you. I honor you. I bless you for the example you've been, the great stand you've taken for God in this great New River Valley. So I love you. God bless you. Would you turn, please, you have it already, to 2 Samuel. You said, but you didn't give the text. Well, I thought you could hear from God. Come on now. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And I'm going to do my best not to preach long today. No promises. Because as somebody said, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be heard again. Amen. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's holy word and honor, respect for the word of the Lord? Oh, God is good. God is good. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shammah. Everybody shout Shammah. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Do what? Where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Well, I was raised up in the Holy Land, Alabama. We just call that a pea patch. Was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Notice, please, the first three words of verse number 12. But he stood. Come on, shout that, please. But he stood. Again. But he stood. It doesn't say, but he gave up. It doesn't say, but he quit. It doesn't say, but he threw in the towel. But it says what? But he stood against the host of the enemy. And beloved, hear me. If he can stand, You can stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. You can stand, but all hell is raging. Let hell assail. You can prevail. If you'll make up your mind, I'm going to keep on standing. But he stood. I want to minister for just a few moments along these lines. Enough is enough. Come on, say it, please. Enough is enough. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I believe that today your holy word will go forth. And because of your word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank you now. We bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I love these words. But he stood. But Shammah stood. Shammah. But who was Shammah? You see, Shammah was one of David's mighty men. Shammah was a mighty man of war. He was a tremendous warrior. But not only that, but also Shammah was a farmer in the land of Israel. Now I want you to see the scene here in these two verses. That the scene that is taking place is the same scene that had been taking place time after time, again and again, year after year. And if the same scene is taking place in your life, time after time, again and again, year after year, and it's a bad scene, then guess what? It's time to change the scenery. But you see, but what is going on? Let me kind of draw the picture for you. He was Shammah, yes. He was a warrior. He was a mighty man of God. But also, as I said, he was a farmer. And know this, Shammah, along with the other Israelites, they were down in that field of lentils, in that pea patch. They were down in that field of lentils, and they were gathering the crops of the labor. They were gathering in the ripened fruit. They were gathering in the harvest. Can you see now? Get a picture. Here they were down in that pea patch, and they were gathering the fruits of the labor. Can you see them? But not only can you see them, but guess what? Somebody else could see them. Who was it? It was a troop of Philistine soldiers. And those Philistine soldiers were on the hillside looking down upon them as they were gathering in the fruits of the labor, gathering the ripened crops to gather in the harvest. And they could see them. And that Philistine troop was there for one reason. They had come because they were after the harvest. And know this, church, the enemy is after your harvest. Now I challenge you to do a study. Do a study in the Old Testament every single time, without exception. Every single time in the Old Testament that the enemies of God, I'm talking about the Philistines, the Syrians, the Moabites, the Amorites, etc. Every single time that the enemies of God came against God's people, they always came against God's people at harvest time. So guess what? If the enemy's coming against you, guess what? It is your harvest time. Come on. Why don't you tell your neighbor, say, it's your harvest time. Come on, tell them. It is your harvest time. Let me answer this question. I got to find out for sure. Has anybody here other than me ever gone through a season of attack? Come on now. Have you gone through a season of attack in the past few years? All right. Past few months? Few weeks? Few days? If I say hours, you raise your hands, I'm going to start praying now. But you see, the enemy is going to attack you. I've learned a few things in my Christian walk. Attacks are going to come. Are you being negative? No, I'm being biblical. Come on now. Attacks will come. But you know what? By the time I've learned this one thing, when attacks come my way, I'm not going to get down and gloomy. You say, why is that? Because an attack is simply an indication that you are not conquered yet. Come on now. I'll say it again. An attack is simply an indication that you are not conquered yet. And the enemy, they come after that one thing, the harvest. And here there were Shammah and the other farmers down that field of lentils, in that pea patch. And all of a sudden, Shammah, he hears the commotion. Shammah hears the ruckus. And all of a sudden, Shammah sees the dust beginning to fly. And he sees this fellow Israel begin to flee in all directions. And Shammah says, what is going on? He sees them begin to flee. Now this, beloved, know this. When the enemy begins to come against you, when the enemy begins to attack you, when the enemy has the audacity to come against you for your harvest, there's two things you can do. Number one, you can flee. Or number two, you can fight. Number one, you can surrender. Or number two, you can stand. But I don't know about you, beloved, but I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to surrender. But I'm going to stand and fight. Come on, shout amen if you're with me. And Shammah sees them beginning to flee in all directions. The Bible tells us in verse 11. And Shammah turned to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, Shammah sees that troop of Philistine soldiers coming down. And he knows what they're after. But you see, something had just happened. Shammah had just reached over and he grabbed a handful of peas off the vine. And I believe it was a big old handful of peas. An El Grande handful of peas. He grabs a big old handful of peas off the vine. He looks and he sees those enemies coming. He sees that troop of Philistine soldiers coming. And all of a sudden, Shammah has a handful of peas. And all of a sudden, Shammah, he began to grip those peas a little bit tighter. He began to grip them a little bit firmer. And he begins to talk to himself. It's okay to talk to yourself. Come on out. If you're saying the right stuff, come on out. In fact, I love to talk to myself. I love good, intelligent conversation. Come on out. But Shammah begins to talk to himself as he begins to grip those peas a little bit tighter, a little bit firmer. He begins to say something kind of this. These are my peas. I love peas. God gave me these peas. He said, I broke up the fallow ground. I planted this field. I watered this field. I weeded this field. I drove away the birds of the air. I drove away the beasts of the field. And nobody is going to have these peas. It's mine. This harvest is mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And you've got to have the same attitude. Won't you rise up and begin to say, this harvest is mine. You say, what is your harvest? Whatever God has given you, whatever God has promised you, whatever has been prophesied over you individually and the church, it's your harvest. You need to rise up like Shammah and say, hey, I prayed about it. I believe God. I've sought God. I stayed before his presence. I fasted. I've confessed the word. And there's not a devil in hell or out of hell that's going to have my harvest. And Shammah sees an enemy coming down upon him, getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, Shammah holds that fistful of peas in the air and he began to shout it out loud, no more, no way, enough is enough. Come on, everybody. Why don't you hold that fistful of peas up? Come on now. Come on now. What is it? I mean, that's symbolic of your harvest. What is your harvest? It's the healing of your body. It's the restoration of your marriage. It's you being dead free. It's God blessing you coming in and God blessing you going out. What is it? That's Alabama winning another national championship. Hallelujah! Woo! Did I say that? Go Hokies. I'm covering my ground. Can I not say chase a rabbit, but can I pet a rabbit for a moment? Now, as you know, that great higher learning university right down the road, Virginia Tech. I put two kids through Virginia, they got the master's and from there. One almost got her doctorate. But twice Virginia Tech has played Alabama. Twice. I grew up in Alabama. Went there. But my kids went to Virginia Tech and twice Virginia Tech played Alabama. And they never played them before that time. And I was always rooting for Alabama Tech. But now they come together. I said, Lord, what do we do? Who do I root for? I said, Lord, you got to give me a word out of the Bible. What should I do? I mean, speak to me. He said, son, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God, I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars putting them through school. Go Tech. Where was I? Oh, yeah. When the enemy comes against you, you got to begin to rise up strong like Shammah and say, what? Enough is enough. Come on, shout it out loud. Enough is enough. You see, hell is out to destroy you, not just to annoy you, but hell is out to destroy you, to take from you what you prayed for, what you believed for, what you sought God for. And I want to see this loud and clear. There's not a devil in hell or out of hell that's going to have my harvest 1,000 times. No. And like Shammah, I'm going to rise up strong and begin to shout it out loud. Enough is, come on, hold the handful of peas up one more time. Come on out, shout it. Enough is enough. I mean, some of you need to get mad. I mean, you need to serve the Lord with madness against the devil. Come on out. I mean, some of you need to get red hot and furious against the host of hell. I mean, some of you need to get really mad. You need to go home today. You need to open up that front door. You need to walk in and point your finger at the devil. I'm not talking about your husband, honey. No, I'm talking about the devil. And said, devil, you've come against me for the last time. You've come against my home for the last time. You've come against my family for the last time. You've come against my marriage for the last time. You've come against my business for the last time. You've come against my ministry for the last time. You've come against my church for the last time. You've come against my pastor for the last time. Get out of here, devil. In the name of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Amen. But Shammah stood and shouted out loud, enough is enough. Now there are three things I believe that Shammah did. And the same three things that Shammah did, guess what? You can do the same three things. Come on now. What is that? Number one, Shammah did not panic. I said Shammah did not panic. He did what? He what? Stood. Everybody shout. He stood. He didn't panic. He stood. You know, the Bible tells us in another place, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, fear ye not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I love that. It says, fear ye not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It means, why don't you just pull up a front row seat and what's God begin to work for you? Come on out. What's God begin to show up and show out and show off for you? Come on out. Stand still. Stand still. Now, I love that phrase, stand still. Now, in the original Hebrew, the phrase stand still means this. Relax. Don't panic. Come on out. Everybody shout, don't panic. When hell's coming against you, what do you do? Don't panic. The doctor says you've only got 6 months to live. What do you do? Don't panic. The boss says, I'm sorry, but I got to lay off. What do you do? Don't panic. Your mother-in-law decides to move in with you. What do you do? I won't go there. But what do you do? Come on, church. When hell is raging against you, guess what? Don't panic like Shammah. Stand. The Bible says, fear ye not, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Won't you know this, my friend, that God is going to show up for you and you and you and you and the rest of you. Don't panic. Come on, say it again. Don't panic. And I love that phrase, don't panic. Now, several years ago, I was preaching a message on when the fires of hell are burning. Now, let me ask you a question. When the fires of hell are burning, what do? Don't panic. Say it again. Don't panic. I was going to preach that message when the fires of hell are burning, when the fires are raging. Here was, and I was pacing back and forth in that motel room that morning. I was thinking about that. When the fires of hell are raging, what do? And I stopped and I looked at the back of that motel door and says, in case of fire, the first thing was this. It said, don't panic. Woo! I said, that'll preach. My God, that'll preach. Hallelujah. And so Shammah, he stood. Oh, yes, he didn't panic. Tell your neighbor, say, get a hold of that. Come on, tell them. Say, get a hold of that. Don't panic. Don't panic. Man, don't get bent out of shape. You say, why is that? Because the throne of heaven is still occupied.
Amen.
He is still God. I feel it kicking in right about now. Come on now. Woo! I feel it coming on. Thank you, Pastor. I'm talking about don't panic. The second thing is this. Yes, Shamma didn't panic, but also Shamma expected God to move. I said Shamma expected God to move. When hell begins to come your way, what are you expecting? Come on now. That you're going to be walked on, stomped on, trampled on, defeated? Be a doorman for hell, not me, honey. I believe that my God's going to show up like Shamma expected, that God Almighty was going to show up for him. You're going to have that spirit of expectation. Expect God. Expect God to move. In Psalms 42, verse 11, from the Living Bible, I love it. Psalms 42, verse 11, from the Living Bible says, expect God to move. Come on now. I love that. Also, from the Living Bible, in Psalms 119, verse 81, the Bible says, I expect your help, O God, for you have promised it. Hallelujah. And when when the enemy comes against me, I know that my God's going to show up for me. I have no doubt about it. He is going to divinely intervene for me every single time. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah! I mean, my God's a mighty God. My God's a mighty God. My God's a... Oh, come on, shout amen, somebody. I mean, how does God move in the big things and the little things? I said the big things and the little things. Oh, come on now. Now, I was driving up, the West Virginia Turnpike, sometime back. And you got to pay for that? Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad they should pay you, but anyhow. And they don't take credit cards. They don't take debit cards. They don't take food stamps. They take what? Cash. That's the same as money. But guess what? I left home and I forgot to get some money. I forgot to go by the ATM machine. And I was pulling up, and I looked at my wallet. Oh, my God, I had one of those moments. Have you ever had one of those moments? Come on now. Hallelujah. And so, and I said, oh no. But I pulled up and the letter laid at the booth said, sir, here, just keep on going. And she gave me the change. What change? That cost $2, but she gave me. Now, I had to pay for 3 toll booths, $6, but she gave me. She said, here, sir, here's your change. I said, what change? And she gave me $8. And I said, my God in heaven, what is this? And she said, the car in front of you just want to pay it forward and to bless you. Now, I mean, she didn't just pay for the 1-2, but guess what? Hallelujah. There was an El Shaddai blessing, more than enough. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. But somehow, someway, God showed up for me. And guess what? He'll show up for you every single time. Come on. And that's what Shamma was saying. When the enemy's coming on down, he said, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to stand. And hell was coming on down even more. He said, but I expect my God is not going to lay back, but he's going to show up for me. Why don't you expect every single time that your God, my God, our God, is going to make a way? Come on. Woo, hallelujah. Do you believe it? Come on, shout yeah. Hallelujah. And finally, I close with this. How many of it's biblical for the man of God to do that? Come on now. It is, Brother Don. Finally. How do you know that? Well, I'm following after the example of the Apostle Paul. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he said, and finally, brother, and then it went on for 18 more verses. Come on now. That's true. But the thing is this, not only does Shamma not panic, and not only does Shamma expect God to move, but guess what? He didn't give up.
Amen.
He didn't give up. He didn't give up. I said, he didn't give up. Come on now. I said, he didn't give up. I don't know what he had nearby. Did he have a sword laying on the ground nearby? A sword, a javelin, a dagger, a spear, a club? I don't know. Maybe just a fistful of peas. I don't know. But the enemy kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Let me tell you something, church. Just because you stand one time, just because you say, I expect God to move, you think the enemy's going to give up on you? You think the enemy's going to back off your case? No, He'll keep coming again and again and again and again. But guess what? Shammah didn't give up. And don't you dare give up either. The 11th commandment is this. In fact, I believe there's at least 15. I believe Moses dropped one. The tablet's coming on down. Huh? My mama told me that. She said, son, you know, he dropped one of the tablets. The other five was, yea, thou shalt clean the room. Thou shalt do this. But I believe, thank God for mamas on this day. But I believe one of the commandments is, yea, thou shalt not quit. And when things are coming against you, and they're going to come against you. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom and war and calamity. But guess what? I'm a preacher of truth. And the enemy will come. He said, that's not positive. Well, I'm positively telling you the truth.
Yes.
Right. The enemy will come, but guess what? You are destined to win and not lose. You're destined to be a victor and not a victim. You're destined to be, oh, come on, more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Right. And all days that were coming against him, he fought the battle. He fought and fought and fought, and God gave him the victory. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, there's something he did. Look at me, church. I close with this. For the sake of closing. There's something you got to do. You got to rise up strong and shout it out loud. Enough is enough. Come on, say it again. Enough is enough. Come on, shout it again. Enough is enough. Now, I'm not usually a crier, a weeper, you know. But sometime this past summer, I got a letter that it literally, Brother Todd caused me to begin to weep like a baby. It broke my heart. Not tears of sadness, but tears of joy. I got a letter from a little mama up in Indiana. And I was at a church a number of years ago in Noblesville, Indiana, outside of Indianapolis. I was there for one time. Could have gone back, but the pastor left, went to another church, and never went back. But I was at this one church in Noblesville only one time. Here was on a Sunday night, and had a prayer line. I was praying for people wall to wall. People, I was praying for this one and this one and this one and this one. And I looked in the far aisle, and the mom and her dad were walking in the aisle. The dad was holding a little boy. He was about 6 or 7 years of age, roughly. And that boy was saying, let me down, let me go, leave me alone, and just fighting his dad so hard. I mean, just swatting his dad, trying to fight it. Let me down. And I sensed the urgency that was there. And the boy was real loud, let me down, leave me alone. And the dad was holding on tight. And I knew there was a line of people that would be prayed for, but I sensed the urgency. And I said, I'll be back. And went on down there to the mom and the dad. And the boy said, let me down. And I said, what's the matter? And the mom said, Brother Danny, I said, yeah, he's got severe autism. He's got different emotional problems, learning disorders, some things that are there. And we were told by the school, if there's not a change, if something has happened, we can't keep it. We've got to find an alternate place. But we said, we've come to the end, and we can't take it anymore. Who was that mom and the dad? What were they saying? They were literally saying, what? Enough is enough. Come on, say it. Enough is enough. Come on, say it again. Enough. I mean, they were so mad. They said, we can't take it anymore. We believe God is going to change things. And the little boy said, let me down, leave me alone. They said, would you pray for him? And I don't know what I prayed. It's been a long time ago. She said, but you pray a short prayer. How many old? You don't need to pray long prayers in public if you pray long in private. Come on now. But she said, I reached over to begin to pray for him. And when I did, she says, he began to fight at you. And I don't remember, it's been so long. She said, he was swatting against you and trying to knock me away. But she said, I just reached out and I laid my hands upon the little boy. She said, you prayed a short prayer. I don't know what I prayed. It's kind of this, Lord, touch him. Lord, heal him. Lord, change him. And he was moving, fighting in me, trying to swat at my hands and me. She said, but as soon as you prayed, immediately, that sounds like our God, doesn't it? Suddenly. Immediately, she says, He calmed down, became so peaceful, so quiet, so serene that it is dead as arms. I'm so quiet. Well, I went on and started praying for the people. I didn't know. But he goes back to school. And 2 days later, the mom and the dad, they get another note from the teacher. But this time the note was different. Said, "We don't know what has happened to your son. But he is the quietest, the peaceful, the most gentle, the most serene, the most attentive student that I've got in my classroom." But in the letter, she said this. Yes, God touched him. But this past June, guess what happened? He graduated from high school. Valedictorian. Hallelujah. Why? Because that mom and that dad said enough is enough. Hell is coming against you and your family. What are you going to do? Have the Israelites begin to flee? Or you stand firm and fight. Amen. And hold that handful of peas in the air. That's my son. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my granddaughter. That's my grandson. That's my husband. That's my wife. That's my job. That's my health of my body. That's my joy. That's my peace. This is my prosperity. This is my ministry. This is my blessing. And devil, I want to say loud and clear, enough is enough. Would you stand with me, please, everybody, right now? Come on, church. Raise your hands up high. Begin to shout it out loud from the depths of your being. Come on, shout it out loud. Enough is enough. Come on, shout it. Enough is enough. Oh, raise your hands up high and begin to praise him in advance. Hallelujah. 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 You better get ready. You better get ready. You better get ready, because God is saying it's on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Your increase is on the way. Your abundance is on the way. What you've been crying for, believing for, longing for, standing for, it's on the way. Oh, guess what? It shall be seen in 2018. Hallelujah. Oh, get ready, honey. Get ready. This is your year. Hallelujah. This is your year. And your breakthrough is near. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, can somebody shout enough is enough? One more time. Enough is enough. I want to pray for some of you right now, but I think I shared this before a few years ago. I'm not sure, but if so, bear with me. Several years ago, I was in the process of doing some remodeling where I live now. I downsized. I was doing some remodeling and had the dining room was full of stuff. I mean, some jagged stuff and nails and all kinds of stuff here and there. And I tumbled, I slipped, bam. And I was carrying a large canister at the time. A large, heavy plastic canister of dog food. I've got two of them. I mean, Shih Tzus. Sir Maxwell and Sir Charles. Max and Johnny. But I had that canister of dog food, and I was walking across the dining room that had all kinds of stuff there. Jagged material, jagged this, and I stumbled. I tripped, but I came down the corner of that canister. Bam! It shattered the plastic canister. And a couple of pieces of the plastic cut around my eye. And two pieces of sharp, jagged plastic went into my left eye. I felt the liquid begin to flow down my face. The fluids in the eye began to flow. In less than a minute, less than 60 seconds at the very most, it got darker and darker and darker and darker, and I couldn't see. I couldn't see. So I went to the ER. That's wisdom. And they began to check it out. And this one little nurse said, she said, "Honey," you can tell she was Southern, "honey," she said, "you used to take this tube. It's a big old tube." She says, "I'm supposed to put a dab in your eye and throw the rest away." She said, "This stuff costs about $200. She said, "Just put it in your pocket and shut up." I said, okay, honey. So she puts some of that stuff in the big old globet. And she said, you need to come back tomorrow and have it checked out. And it's about, 12 o'clock at night. And so I go back the next day, and the doctor begins to check my eye out. He checks a lot. I couldn't see a thing in the world. He says, sir, in all probability, you'll never see that eye again. At the very best, there'll be partial blindness because of the severe damage. I heard those words, but I choose to believe something else. He said, you'll probably never see again. I said, well, thank you, doctor. I said, but I don't receive that. He said, it would. I said, I appreciate your medical expertise. I said, but I believe my God's still a healing God. He said, I know what I'm talking about, sir. I said, I do too. Yeah. Well, I started getting mad. Now, that wasn't the devil. I just slipped. Come on now. I'm not going to give him glory for something he didn't do. But that day, I couldn't see a thing in the world, but I went home that day. And I could hear the words of that doctor saying, you'll probably never see again. But guess what I did? I said, Lord, I claim your word. I was getting mad. I didn't panic. I expected my God to move, and I didn't give up. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to claim your word. And I chose 3 verses of scripture. And I memorized every healing verse in the book. But I said, Lord, I'm going to pick out these 3. Exodus 15, verse 26. 1 Peter 2, 24. And Isaiah 58, verse 8. And I started boldly saying, I've got a healing covered with my God. I am the healed of the Lord. And my health shall be turn to me speedily. I didn't just say that one time. I didn't just quote that one time. I didn't confess that one time. But Brother Ron, Brother Todd, I was confessing that every day, all day. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Now, what was I doing, church? I was holding a handful of peas up in there, and I was saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I mean, the next morning I woke up, and guess what? I couldn't see. I mean, still blind, as dark as could be, but I kept on confessing the word. I said, I've got a healing covered with my God. I am the healer of the Lord, and my health shall return to me speedily. I woke up the next day. Oh, that second day, I couldn't see a thing in the world. I kept on confessing the word of God. I woke up the third day. I couldn't see a thing in the world, but I kept on confessing the word of the Lord. I woke up the next day. Guess what? I could see. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I felt like at John chapter 9, verse 25. I once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I got so pumped up. I got so cranked up. I couldn't wait till the clock struck. Bing, 8 o'clock. That's when the doctor's office opened. And so, bing, hit 8 o'clock. I called the doctor's office back. I said, I've got to come back in. Well, Mr. Johnson, you're not scheduled to come back for another week. I said, I know, but I got to come back in now. Now, why? I said, I didn't tell what it was. I said, I got to come back in. They said, well, just come on in right now. We'll kind of squeeze you in. Well, I went back in, and guess what? I sat down. You put your chin in those things, and he looked at my eyes, and the first 2 words out of his mouth was this. He said, my God. I said, exactly. Hallelujah. He said, sir. He said, you don't even have a scar on your eye. And you got perfect 20/20 vision. Hallelujah. And guess what? That's better than it was before. Come on now. I mean, my God does it. Guess what? He does it right. How many of you need God to touch you in your life in some area? Raise your hands up high. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to lay hands upon somebody in a moment. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now that supernatural victory is arising. The spirit of a conqueror, the spirit of a champion, the spirit of a warrior is arising in this place individually and as this body as a whole. I believe, Father God, that this is going to be known as a mighty warhouse for God. This can be known as the mighty boot camp for the kingdom of our God. We are the bride of Christ, and Father, I thank you that the bride is going to put on her combat boots. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that today is a new day. We're going to put the enemy on the run, because today enough is enough. Can somebody shout amen? Amen.